Mrs. Ruth Stimson, 2712 Brook Drive. I have always lived in Kalamazoo. I started to work at the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company July 7, 1919. Because I lived on the east side of town, I would get on the interurban on East North Street, just off Bell Road. Occasionally, while waiting for the interurban, I would get picked up by someone driving who didn't already have a load. At that time, there weren't more than about four people who drove. Promptly at 5 p.m., there would be a so-called bus in front of the office to take us into town. The bus was provided by Miller Coal and Seed Company. It was always just packed. As I remember, we paid a fare of only 5 cents. There was just the one narrow cinder road leading by the mill, which was most unpleasant during the long dry spell in the summer. The road between Kalamazoo and the mill was not paved until sometime in the early 20s, and the paving of the business area was not done until October 1931. It was quite apparent that the pavement into town, as well as the street lights along the road, were accomplished through the influence of Ray Brundage, whom J.K. had hired after he had been president for some time of the Kalamazoo Chamber of Commerce. The only store of any description was a grocery store located just south of the mill and owned by Watson Brothers, who lived across the road. I believe they were uncles or great uncles of Bob Watson, retired from Brown Company and now living at the corner of Riverview Drive and Mossel Avenue. We had only 15 minutes for lunch hour, so that we either carried our lunch or ate at what was known as Welfare Hall, located above the several garages adjacent to the mill. Alice, the wife of Hank Butler, in charge of the parchment manufacturing department, did the cooking there and always planned an excellent meal for a long line of hungry people. In May 1921, Ernest Keyes, who was a master mechanic at Parchment, influenced my father, Irving M. Stimson, to take over the decorating done throughout the mill, as well as the homes owned by the company and rented to employees. My father did just that until his death, October 1st, 1945. At one time, the company owned about 30 homes, and Mr. Kindleberger, known as J.K., was a stickler for keeping all the houses as well as the entire mill in A1 shape. In fact, the mill was labeled the model paper mill of the world. A few years later, the community house was built, where the First National Bank now stands. William Connors, her father of Lee, employed in the mill for many years, was responsible for all of the building, while my father had charge of the decorating. J.K. was very proud of his project, and when the building was completed, planned a big celebration which took place on a Saturday during the day and evening. On Sunday, a well-attended dinner was served in the cafeteria. There were two apartments on the top floor. One was occupied by Mr. and Mrs. Harry Sebring and two daughters. Harry had been timekeeper at the mill for some years, and from then on was custodian of the community house. The other apartment was occupied by the first physician and surgeon in the community, Dr. Alton E. Pullen, who later built a home and office on the northeast corner of Riverview Drive and Glendale Boulevard. In the basement of the community house was the cafeteria, where very good lunches were served each day, each working day, to the employees, as well as evening banquets. The auditorium, which was most of the main floor, was used for all sorts of entertainment, even dances, sales conventions, and so forth, and later as a union church. Eventually, it resulted in what is now the Parchment Union Methodist Church, now nicely located on Glendale Boulevard. I neglected to say that some years after the community house was built, a very adequate gymnasium was added to the rear of the building. At the time I started working in 1919, there were 33 people in the office, 15 of whom were girls. There were only two paper machines, plus the machine on which the parchmentizing was done. The Kimmelbergers lived in the house in front of and a little south of the mill. Later, they moved into the large brick house they had built across the street. Aside from the company houses, there were not many homes in the vicinity. For many years, the only holidays enjoyed by both the mill and the office employees were 4th of July, Labor Day, and Christmas. We moved into the new office on Island Avenue in March 1928. The moving was done on a Saturday, and the evening before, a big party was held on the top floor of the building. There was an orchestra for dancing and so forth. A good time was had by all. At the time I started working at the Parchment, there was a department known as the rag room, which was done away with, I would say, in the mid-20s, because rags were no longer used in the paper manufacture there. However, the process of getting the rags ready for use in the paper was most interesting. Mrs. Timbuskin had charge of that department, and there were a number of women working under her supervision.